Let's just pray. Father, we just really want to thank you for today. We thank you that you're going to touch us today. You're going to minister to us today. God, you're going to add something more today. Today, we're going to walk out blessed. We're going to go, it has been good to be in the house of the Lord. So, Father, right now, in these 20 minutes, we just ask that we ask you to help us to take every thought captive, all the things that we need to do. But, Father, we just want to give you this time so that you can change us, renovate us, impart into us, and God, just show us your goodness. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, happy Father's Day. It is just so, so good. You know, over the last couple of weeks, and how many enjoyed Zoran last week? Yeah, I need to know because I'm taking him out to lunch, so depending on where I'm going to take him. It was funny because when I was doing itinerating, and I used to take the kids with me, they used to judge how my message was but where I was taken out. And I remember one time we got taken out to McDonald's and it was Jess comes up to me and goes, didn't do well, did you, Dad? Yes, yeah, so I just wanted to just do the same thing for Zoran. You know, we've been doing a whole thing about the kingdom. And part of the kingdom message, Jesus said he came to preach the gospel of the kingdom. Paul says, I'm preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Now, the gospel of the kingdom will do this for you. Everything that was lost in the garden, Jesus wants to restore plus multiply. See, one of the things we need to remember, God never gives like for like. See, in God's economy, you know, like if you've lost a dollar, God says, I'll give you back a dollar. The Bible talks about this. When a thief is caught, he has to pay back seven times. So when God gives you something, it's always more than you've lost. In the economy of the world is a lost one. Well, you got one. Let's redo that. So God goes more like this. He goes, if whatever you lost, I want to give to you, but I also want to multiply it to you. We got to understand to move in the kingdom, our expectation has to be it's more than enough. That's why God says, I'm more than enough. I used to think, well, that's a cliche. The reason God says, I'm more than enough is that I give you. Now, I've spoken this before, but let me re-educate that again. When the woman was, God came to a poor woman and her son, they were going to die. They needed to finance, but they were running out of oil. He said to the woman, go and get as many pots as you can and then start pouring the oil. The oil was being poured and poured. You know, the only time the reason the oil stopped is because the woman said, we have no more pots. I don't know if you got that. So the oil didn't stop because the lack of pots. The oil stopped because the person receiving it says, there's no more room. So I need you to do something about entering the kingdom is make room for more than enough, more than enough, more than enough. See, we need to go from one level to the other one. You start at the minimum level. Father, I have a need. But then when your need is met, God, my person next to me has a need. We all start with a basic need. And God says, see, what stops the flow is now my need is being met. I remember Sul and I were in that situation where you go, I just need the bills paid, I need the bills paid. But now I'm at a different level. We have people that we're sponsoring all around the globe. And so it's not a lot about me. It's about I'm praying this morning for Pastor Sheriff in Serbia. We're praying for people in Ethiopia, in Cambodia. So my mind is going, God, my level is not just to get my need met, but I want to do the same over and over and over again. So first thing you need to realize before we start to go over there, we go, God, this is my need. Then when my need gets met, I go, I am going to partner with somebody else's because I don't want the flow to stop. So when we start talking about the kingdom, we go back, what did we lose? See, I always thought was, okay, understand my mind, is that I want to just share just the relevancy of the potency of the kingdom of God. Jesus comes onto the scene and he starts to preach the gospel of the kingdom. And if you walk through it, he spends 3.5 years of preaching and preaching. In John 14, he says, I am leaving. And everybody gets upset. They're going, hold on. You've introduced us to the things we've lost. You've introduced us to the, we can walk in miracles. You introduced us to no condemnation. You introduced us to grace. And now you are leaving. And then Jesus starts to do this. I am the way. I am the life. I am the truth. No one can come to the Father except me. Now, here's what's interesting. Now, we've got to understand this. He's talking with 12 men that had an intimate relationship with Jesus. We're not talking about novices. We're not talking about strangers. These men, their wives, their children that used to travel with them, got so used to Jesus. They got so used to him that if they didn't understand, they would have a one-on-one with Jesus. And he says that to them. And then Philip says this, show us the Father. To me, that's, when you first read that, it is like, hold on. Jesus came and he says, I've come to introduce the Father. And right at the end, he says, you're leaving. And he goes, show us the Father. So here's my key. You can be in the kingdom of God and do not understand fathering. Now watch this. There is a prophecy in the book of Malachi, chapter 4, verse 6. And he's talking about Elijah. Verse 5. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. And he shall convert the heart of the fathers to the sons and the hearts of the sons to the fathers. There is a divine encounter that God wants to have this. Now watch this. God puts it this way. You cannot receive the Father unless the Father, you know that the Father's heart is for you. It says this, isn't it interesting? It doesn't say, I'm going to restore the hearts of the children to the fathers. It's, the prophecy says this, the first thing I want to restore is the heart of the fathers to their children. To me, that was, hold on, I would have done it the other way around. He goes, I am, you, for a child to respond, he needs to know that the father's love is for him. Right now, we have men. Okay, I want to just talk to men. Ooh. Children respond when they know your heart is for them. They do not respond in otherwise, or otherwise you get a works mentality. When children are working to get your response, it's out of order. Breathe. What happens is this. God gives us this. He goes, first, the restoration says that the father throws his heart over the line to the children. And when the children are secure, then they throw their heart over to the father. Never the other way around. So what Jesus was saying here to Philip, he asked him this, how long have I been with you? You know what he was saying? Philip, I represent the Father, and I am telling you that his heart has been thrown over the line because I am the living proof that my heart is for you. If we live in an environment where we're going to, I'm trying to please God, the kingdom of God always comes out of order when we stop being responsive and we want a response. So it works like this. We talked about it. When I'm trying to go, please Jesus, I'm waiting for a response to him, but in the kingdom is what has God said that I can respond to? So when Philip was there, he's saying, we've seen the miracles, we've heard the message, we've enjoyed all of that, but now you're telling us that this is the Father's will for us? See, you can fall in love with Jesus and don't understand the Father. The whole concept of the kingdom is you need a father. Now watch this. When you understand the word father, it means this. In the culture that he talked about fathering, he said, one of the things you get this key. The father is talking to Abraham and he says, Abraham, I am going to bless you because I know you will teach your children. So what he says to Abraham, one of the things that I am blessing you with, because I know you're not going to keep it to yourself. In the culture that Jesus grew up in, it was this, that the first thing of a father is to teach his children. His responsibility, not anybody else's. See, the reason schools were started, if you know the history of schools, it was started by the Jews. The reason being is this, is because the God's command was, when you have a child, he becomes your responsibility, not the state's responsibility. So the whole concept was the orphanages were in the Jewish culture because they realized that you haven't got a father. So who's teaching you? You haven't got a father who is protecting you. You haven't got a father who is giving to you. So they started schools and orphanages because it was meant to. You've lost a father, so we're going to give you an institution that makes up for it. You know what was also said among fathers in the time of Jesus? If a father doesn't teach his children how to make a living, he's educating a thief. What the statement was there was this, that the father goes, I am going to teach you how to live. I am going to teach you how to prosper. I am going to teach you how to be a blessing to you, to your family, to your community, to the whole globe. So the whole concept was this, is if you withhold the teaching, you're teaching your children how to step out of the kingdom and have their own resources. So when Jesus says, I am a father, he says, I want to introduce you to the father. You know what he's saying to you? I am responsible for you. You know what? One of the shocking things about having kids is they come into the world and they're totally dependent on you. How many of you know that when you have fathers, I'm talking to you, how many of you realized that when you have children, you lost me time? I remember the first time Silva left me with the kids. I mean, it was. She goes to me, "Oh, Ted, you know what? My family's having a reunion in Denmark. All the family's coming up. I'm going to go away for 3.5 weeks." I go, "That's 21 days, half. That's like a whole year." And so you know what? And I'm just realizing, and I. She leaves. She kisses me goodbye. And I'm left with 3 children. And I realize something is you clean, they mess up. You clean, they mess up again. They're always hungry. They always need something. They always have to be driven somewhere. One of the things I realized, I became fully responsible. It was really good being a father when you have an excellent mother. Or the father said, yeah, I know, I can hear you, I feel you, brother. But you see, what I realized for the first time, I was responsible financially and all of that, but I had these 3 kids that had to eat my food. Back then, I didn't know how to cook. My kids were saying, Dad, do you realize you could go in prison? This is called child abuse, the way you're cooking. What I learned was the full 24/7 responsibility. So when you come into the kingdom, God doesn't leave you to somebody else to look after you. God says, I am responsible for you. Let me show you this. When you get born again, God doesn't sign a contract with you. He doesn't do this. Hey, Fabs, you want to be born again? Yeah, let's do the contrary. For you to have full salvation, this is what you have to do, and this is what I have to do. As long as you fulfill your part of the bargain, you're okay. You know what God said? He goes like this, I will save you, full stop. He goes, when you give your heart to me, I become responsible for your salvation. Say something. Just think about this. How many people are worried about their salvation? The reason you worry about your salvation is because it's a sign of an orphan spirit. Because the Father said this to me and to you, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will never abandon you. I'll never walk away from you. That's why David, in that miraculous psalm, he goes, if I make my bed in hell, I wake up and you're still there. You're breaking the speed limit and you're still there. See, fathers do this. They don't leave. Children leave, fathers don't leave. You know what was interesting? One of the things that really blessed me in the community that we as a church support in Serbia is when a son gets married, you build on another room. And all the kids said, you really believe for the prosperity of your father, right? But see, the whole concept was that Jesus says, when I am introducing you to the Father, because you know me as God, but you need to know me as a father as well. Religion treats the Father as God only. But the kingdom says, yes, he is God, but he's also your Abba Father. The most intimate term in the Bible. And God says this, because if I don't love you with a whole heart, you will never respond to me with a whole heart. The way the kingdom works, and I'd like the worship team to come up. We've got 2 minutes and everybody said, oh, God. I say all these great things. But can I finish in 2 minutes? Yay, there is a God. Father loves me. Now, because what we want to do is start to introduce ourselves to fatherhood is understanding this, is that the Father never leaves anything in reserve. So the kingdom of God, you can rest and you go, wow, everything that has been destined for me is for me. So it works like this. Some of you are struggling because of, man, I should be doing this more. You should be doing this more. You should be this way. Understand something. We don't invite the Father. The Father always invites himself. See, in the garden, when Adam sinned, there was no invitation to God. And this is what God says. Because we have relationship, I don't need to invite myself. You don't need an appointment with Jesus. Remember in an office complex that I was working in, we had security. So our offices were at the top and you had to go through a glass panel and you get your name, find out if you're, they give you the once over. Yeah, I think you're okay. Then they phone you up and says, oh, Pastor Ted, there's this person. Has he got an appointment with you? You go through all these checks and balances, right? It applied to everybody except my kids. See, my kids would go into the office, and they wouldn't go to the glass door. They would just go to the security guard. Excuse me, let me in. Who are you? Name's Christine Fabianic. Get over it. Because you see, what was happening is that there was this protocol that you had to do that. But my kids were not subject to the protocol. They were subject to relationship. Why? Because see, I made a promise to my kids, and it still works now. Anytime you want, my door is always open, my phone is always on, and doesn't matter where you are, I'm coming. That means that sometimes they used to go out to parties, and I get a message at 3. Papa, pickup time. I go, can't you catch a taxi? No, I want to have some one-on-one with you. I'll give you one-on-one with me. You know, it was, because the thing is, I wasn't upset. The only reason they were doing that is because what I did, I go, I want to make sure you get home safely, and I am willing to get up any other time. You good? Now just, so what I realized with this was this, that when I know that the Father's heart is always for me, then I can respond. See, sometimes we go, what's wrong with me? It's not what's wrong with you. See, in worship, the more you know that the Father loves you, the greater your worship is in response. I love that song, My Response Will Be. See, religion has taught me, how do I get Jesus to respond to me? But the kingdom teaches me, Ted, why don't you just respond to God? Let me just show you the way you and I are made up. We are not initiators, we are responders. God didn't make me so that, Ted, if you do this, then I will respond to you. He said, I want you to respond. So church, what we're going to do is we're going to pray in a minute, and we're going to release the Father's love to you so that you can start to respond. The prodigal son, what I always never understood until I'm starting to understand it even more and more, is that the prodigal son does everything to disgrace his father and yet feels it's okay to come home. There are children that do things in their families that run away and they go, there's no way that I'll ever, ever be accepted back into the home. This prodigal son does so many things that were incorrect in the culture. But he comes to his right senses and he goes, I'm going back home. Why? Let me tell you why. Let's go. He's over here in the pig pen, right? He's going, man, you know, I want to eat what the pigs are eating. I am starving. But let's backtrack a little bit. The son leaving. Okay? You give me? The son is here. I'm the father. And I'm looking at my son. And he go, hey, I've given you your inheritance. This is what you want to do. But I am always going to be your dad. And you see this door? It's always open. And he says, I want to take you into my office. And he takes him into his office and he goes, there's a window. And he goes, you know what I'm going to do with this window? I'm going to sit to do what I need to do. But one eye is on here. I'm going to be looking for you to come home. He goes, you're going to do this, but I want you to know that I am always going to be your dad. The doors are always open. I am for you. I am not against you. I will cover up all the stuff that you do because you are my son. I birthed you. I take responsibility for you. You want to do this? I'm going to let you go. So guess what? His farewell present was an open door. See, we think, God, please, God. And so the prodigal son back here in the pig pen, he's going, wow, he has a picture. And when he sees the father's picture, he says, there's an open door. And watch this. You go back here. The father sees his son. What does he do? He gets up and he runs. Why? Because that's the expectation. He says, my son that was lost is now found. So what does he do? He has to touch him. I want you to, you got to see this, is that the father comes up and he sees him in the state that the son is in. He says, this is what fathers do. And he runs up to him and he kisses him on the neck. Now, you know what he was doing? I'm reconnecting you. I want you to know that it's okay. That's our father. See, the kingdom message, it's not how good we are, how well we worship, it's how good is our Father. I want to start you on a journey this morning because we're talking about He's the greatest Father. The only reason I can Father is because of what my Heavenly Father has done for me. But I now need to do this. I've got to do a leap of faith that God's heart is over the line for me. God's heart is over the line. See, I know where God's heart is. It's right here. It's right here. It's right here. When people say, where's God's heart? I'm looking at it. I'm looking at it. Every time I see a person, I'm driving the road. Where's his heart? His heart is there. You see, the Father is not calculating, will I throw my heart over for you? The Father says, it's already done. And so what he says to us now, Ted, I want you to respond. The way you are restored back to me is to know that my heart is on the line, over the line for you. So Father, right now, you know, you might have had good fathers, you might have had average fathers, you might not even had a father. But that doesn't stop this, that the Father, you, God wants to father you. See, an orphan spirit says, I have to look after myself. An orphan spirit says, if I don't do it, no one's going to do it for me. An orphan spirit says, I have to initiate. But see, in the kingdom, because I am a son, because I'm a daughter, I go, okay, God, I'm going to respond to your word. I'm going to respond to the blood of Jesus for salvation. I'm going to respond to the Holy Spirit for revelation. I'm going to respond to your blood for healing. I become a responder of the heart that is over the line for me. I'm praying this morning that we start a journey of realization, which is revelation, that says God's heart is for me. The revelation of the kingdom is the God of the universe is my Father, my healer, my Savior, my provider, my friend, my companion, somebody that I will spend eternity with. So Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I pray for a spirit of revelation to come upon us, that you would just do something amazing, just releasing the love of the Father. He loves you right now. You don't have to prove anything. You don't have to try. You don't have to buy your way in. You accept your way in. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would undo some of the things that we have been taught about you. I pray that you undo some of the things that we've accepted about you. But Father, right now, I want to accept you as my Father. God, I want to accept you that I want you to look after me. I want you to care for me. I want you to teach me. I want to be fathered. See, the first thing you need to do is have this. Yeah, how do I release this, Pastor? Easy. I want to be fathered. Can you just look up for me for a second, everybody? And I'm going to close. My biggest revelation came. I love the Father. Some of you know my background. But it was the time where I prayed this prayer. I need a Father. I needed a Savior. I got to God and I said, God, I'm saved. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. What am I still missing? And I said, Jesus, I want to be fathered. I need a father. And I realized that the cry of humanity is to be fathered, because that's what we lost. Because when I know the Father, I know me. And the way it starts, I know some of you have working hard. I know some of you gone through things. I know some of you, life hasn't been easy. Some of you have learned how to fend for yourself because you had to survive. But today is a new day. I understand all of that, but it has to come a time where you make this heartfelt, I need a dad. I need a dad. People call me dad and I love it, but the only reason I can love you is because I know I'm loved. I'm getting kind of emotional because I'm realizing something, that we can have a great church but not be loved. We can have miracles and not be loved. So this is what I want you to do. We're going to pray. I want to be fathered. I want God of the universe. I want to go, God, you are great, but I want to do this. You're my Abba Father. You're my daddy. You're not just the king. You're not all of that, but I want to be fathered. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, just in this quiet time, why don't you just pray that? God, the great I am, I need a father. I need somebody to hold me. I need somebody to look after me. I need somebody to speak into me. I need somebody to teach me the ways of God. What I need is a father. And Jesus said, for this purpose I've come. I want to introduce you to Father God. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He will always be with you. So Father, right now, in this time, I just release the love of the Father. I release it into your past and into your future and into your present. I release the love of Jesus to come into you. I release you from all the expectations. I release you that you would receive the love of your Father. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Go on, just stand up with me. Let me just pray a Father's blessing over you. Are you good? Are you loved? You will find after today your prayer is going to change. You'll start to think different because we're thinking kingdom. Father, right now, in the authority that's in the name of Jesus, I bless you that you will be blessed when you come in and when you go out. You will be blessed in your mind. You will be blessed in your emotions. You will be blessed in your body. You will be blessed in your work. You will be blessed in your house. You will be blessed in your friendship. I put the blessing of God that makes rich and adds no frustration, that adds no guilt. I bless you. I bless you that this week you will prosper. I bless you that this week you will have divine opportunities. I bless you that this week is going to be one of the most significant weeks in your life. In Jesus' name we pray.